morning, everyone. Welcome to The Countess. My name's Susan. I think everybody knows me. And today I'm leading, and the assistant leader is...
Natalie. Good morning.
And it's Palm Sunday.
Yay.
Yay, a time for celebrating. So many scholars say that Palm Sunday happened in the year 30 AD. They look at when Passover fell and some of the other historical records. So could well be, but even today, we can join in with the crowds that are welcoming the King of Kings. And if we don't, the very stones of the building might cry out. We wouldn't want that to happen. It would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? So we're going to start with Psalm 100, which we're going to read responsively. So it's Psalm 100. You're going to listen to us say it. Some of you might know it. I know this one off by heart. Psalm 100.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now let's join in worshiping and song and singing out to the King of Kings, Hosanna in the highest.
Amen. Please take a seat. Going to be reading from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. The triumphal entry. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They bought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds then went before him and followed him, were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Cool. I'm going to invite my dad to come and speak to us on this passage. I'll just pray for him when he comes up. Yeah, Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it speaks life, and I thank you that it's alive and active today. And I just pray that you would bless Dad as he speaks. I pray that you would, your words would be in his mouth, that your Holy Spirit would fill him right now as he shares with us. And I pray that our hearts would be open to whatever you want to share with us through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah. How are you guys? Good to be with you this morning.
Good.
Happy Palm Sunday.
Yes.
Yes. It's amazing. Right. I love this story.
Yeah.
And every time I come across this story, the Holy Spirit speaks in a different ways. Mm-hmm. And I heard so many sermons about this story since I was that little, all the way until today. But it's easier to repeat something you heard before, Or you ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to say this time? And I just want to unfold this story in a little bit different way and connect it to different background on the Old Testament and what is the Lord trying to say to us. The first part is the Holy Spirit fulfilled the prophecy said in Zechariah 9:9 that Jesus will enter, your king will enter, riding on a donkey. Fulfilled. A prophecy has been said about over 400 years or more through Zechariah that your king will enter, will come riding on a donkey. But what Jesus were known, what people shout, not just when he came to Jerusalem, all the time, what people identify Jesus as? He is the son of
David.
Wait for God, bit. He was the son of David. And being a son of David, that resonates with a lot of things. Being a son of David, meaning what the Bible describes in 1 Kings about David's time of being a king, on the time of that kingdom, he said that the Lord gave him rest. A time of rest against all his enemies, against everything. He just speak rest. And David desire said, okay, how I can live in this big palace and the house of God is a tent. But God said something very interesting that you are not, I see your heart desire, but you are not the one going to do it because your hand is full of blood. You fight a lot. But your son, Solomon, will do that. But let's pause a little bit on this bit. When David announced Solomon to be the king, to take his place, he asked Solomon to ride in a horse. Is that correct? No. He asked to get to take his mule, his little donkey, and Solomon ride on it and announce him as a king of Israel. It's easier to ride in a horse to see to be the warrior, the victorious, but Jesus didn't come that way. He came riding in a horse, in a donkey, to declare something very important, that this time is coming is a time of peace. Time of prosperity. This is a time Solomon did. It is a time of peace. He didn't come declaring war. He didn't come declaring, I am the king. I am going to do it this way. He came humbly, very, very humble, and declare a season, a life of peace over our lives. A time of prosperity. A time you are victorious in his own way, not the way of warriors. He said, is a time of peace. A time to declare that I am the king of this season in our life. Hang on here. That does sound familiar, what the angel said when Jesus born? What they said? Peace on earth. That's the first revelation we have about Jesus. The first revelation about him, that peace on earth. He came as a king of peace. He came and declared peace. And when he entered Jerusalem, He exactly did the same thing. David said, this time coming is a time of peace and prosperity. Is a time have no longer you suffer and you have war. Is a time of peace. The same reflection of this, right? What Solomon did, he did exactly what David asked him to do, to build the temple. After this reading from 1 to 11, the first thing Jesus did, went into the temple. What he did? Clear everything out. And here is the thing. It's a time that he clear your temple. You are the temple of God. Is that the word of God said so? He coming to clear and declare that your temple, it is his temple. He coming to declare that not just you are a temple, he is a temple and you are part of it. He's building a new temple in him and you are part of it. If you are the temple, which is the Bible declare this, he coming to declare that his presence is more important than anything else you are doing in your life. This is what that season reflects. What we are living in. This is what really God is saying to us. It's a time of peace. It's a season of peace. Even if everything around you saying totally the opposite. Is a time where I can declare my presence in your temple because this is what your temple built for and who you are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? That's why it is very, very important for us to know this, that his heart for us to clear that temple from everything is not allowing him to be the King of Kings. And he does it himself. He didn't send the disciples, said, okay, kick all these guys out of the temple. He didn't. He did it himself. And when he's coming as a king, he will do it himself with you. He's not allowing anybody else to clear your temple. It's not Ahmad, it's not Douglas, it's not nobody. He himself is going to clear what is ungodly in our life to align with him. To be with him. Does that make sense? Right. Thank you, Susan, for getting this. There we go. It's serious, it's all. Actually, I was thinking about how to do this when I'm preparing the sermon. I don't know. I was thinking how I do this, but thank you that you did, because I want this. Right. And I want my jacket as well. Two things happened in the story. They lay down their jackets and they lay down this. What is the significance of those two things? Back to the Old Testament again. You heard about this word covenant, yes? So many covenants happened in the Old Testament between God and man. And between man and man. And we can read so many of them. That is your homework. You can Google this. You go covenant and ask Google to show you what a covenant is. Right. But what covenant mean? Right. when the people lay their down their cloth or their robes on the ground, one of the covenant, it happened between Jonathan and David that he gave him his robe. Jonathan loved David so much and he gave him his robe. And not just his robe, his bow, his sword, everything. He submit that to David. But you find something very strange. When you have a covenant between two people, they swap something. But David didn't swap anything. He received the robe from Jonathan alone. That makes you surprised a little bit. That is not a covenant. But here is the thing for you guys. The covenant happened between David and Jonathan for one particular reason. Jonathan should be the second king after Saul because he's the oldest son. When Saul died, automatically, Jonathan should be the king. But Jonathan recognized the anointing David have to be the king. Therefore, what Jonathan did, he decided to have a covenant with the king. He can be jealous. I am the king. I can be the king. I am the son of Saul. I should have the kingdom. I should have the throne. But he chose because he loved David and he's aware that he is the anointed king by God. He said, I am going to have a covenant with you. And I am submitting. I'm putting my clothes. I'm getting in a covenant with you. I'm giving you my rope. I'm giving you everything. And the people of Israel understood that covenant really well. And when they decided to put their robes and clothes on the ground to say, we are submitting ourselves to you. We are going in covenant with you. And my invitation for you today is, are you willing to put your robe down? Are you willing to take your robe and go with this covenant with him and tell him, I won't have this covenant with you. I won't put myself forward, all what I have, all my sword, my weapon, my strengths, the power I have, the position I have, the authority I have, I won't submit that to you and get in covenant with you. I won't make that covenant with you today. The love Jonathan have for David, it's the same word that happened, and Seth can correct me if I am wrong, the same word that came in the commandment, love your God from your heart and soul and mind. Same word. And here is the thing. Are we willing to submit ourselves and take that step and make a covenant with him? Are we willing? Right. That is the rope covenant. What about this? Somebody said something on an interpretation and explanation, and it really touched my heart. He said, when they take the branches and lay it down, they said the branches, it represents the highest things in our life, the importance. Everything higher than what we can even reach. And they decide nothing is higher and important than you. That's why we lay it down. And that makes me think. What is it higher and have importance and have a higher place than Jesus in my life? What is it? And I am willing to lay it down before him or not. What is it that it putting an opposition against me and him? What is it stopping me to get into this covenant with him? What is it stopping me to react one to one with him? To submit myself to him? What is it? Why is this highest important thing in my life is stopping me to fall in love with him? Why is it? And I'm willing to lay it down. I'm willing to say, Hosanna in the highest. Welcome, King of Kings. What is it? One more prophecy for you. It has been fulfilled as well. It's not written clearly on that particular chapter. But Psalm 24 spoke about a great prophecy. Psalm 24. Verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Can anybody read it for me out loud? Psalm 24, 7. What this Ancient of Gates are to be lifted up for the King of Glory to come. It is his presence. When this gate opened for the King of Kings, he will take us to that place where is his presence. One of the guys, the scholar, said that this particular psalm written when David bring the Ark of Covenant and he placed it in the tent of David. He didn't put it in the tent of meeting as a normal place. David was clever. He saw what happened to Obadiah's household when he kept the Ark of Covenant in his house until to see what is going on, what I'm going to do with it. I said, oh, this guy get blessed. I'm not let this Ark of Covenant go anywhere near. It will be in my place. I will put a tent for it in here. And I will have access to that presence. He was a very clever guy. He understood the presence of God. And he said, no, leave the tent of meeting in up there. It's fine. But that presence of God, I am getting hold of it. I am holding this. And when he said, lift up your head, the ancient gates for the King of Glory to come, he was really understanding that very well. The importance of that presence. the importance to get hold of that presence and spend time in that presence of God. Not just this. He said, I need a 24/7 prison worship around this, because this is where the glory will come. How is our prison worship looking like, guys? It's not just playing songs on your Spotify. But how is our life reflecting in a prison worship? Are we praising and worshiping Him in our normal daily routine and life? But what is the significance of this gate to be opened for the King of Glory to come in? Here is the thing. Because you are in covenant with Him, you are going with Him. You are entering with Him. You are going to be in that presence because you are in covenant. You choose. And when you are in covenant, He chooses to take you with Him as well. He cannot go alone and leave you outside because you made the covenant with Him. Therefore, that particular prophecy, it is happening in a daily basis. Because you are in covenant with Him, it is happening in a daily basis that you are entering to this presence with Him every day in a daily basis. How? Through your worship and praise. How? By saying Hosanna in the highest. How? By submitting myself every single day to Him. How? That I'm renewing my covenant with Him every single minute and allowing Him to be in. You declare commitment every day to different things. To your job, to your work, to your wife, to your kids, to everybody. How is your commitment with Him? And how is your commitment to Him? It's an invitation for us today to enter. This coming week, we call it the Holy Week, yes? The whole entire journey to the cross and to the resurrection, this is why what He is inviting you to come in and journey with Him. And when you journey with Him, you will have the victory of the cross over the evil one. He conquered him on the cross. He is inviting you to conquer him on the cross. Journey with Him. He raised up from the dead to beat death and conquer death. And He's inviting you to conquer every death, and every spirit of death has been spoke over you and over your life. Therefore, lift up the ancient gate for the King of Kings to go, because He is going to that presence of God and He's taking you to that presence of God in order for you to conquer by the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection, both things. The evil one and the spirit of death over your life. And you have an eternal life. And you'll have the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. He declared it all. And you can have it all when you enter with Him. That is the reality of it. Therefore, my family, my church, my body of Christ, one thing, Isaiah said, arise and shine. For exactly. And the glory of the Lord, shine. That is the thing. Arise and shine. And enter to His glory. Enter to His presence. Arise and shine to enter. Arise and shine because His glory, it's over each one of us because we are victorious with Him. Arise and shine because He beat this on the cross. He rise from the dead to give you life. Arise and shine. What I invite you to do now is, I don't know how you can reflect this, but maybe if you still have that little leaf in your hand, and you won't just come in the front and said, okay, I am submitting that to you. I'm declaring that every heights, every bigger stuff in my life, I submit it to you. Maybe you put your coat on the ground and said, I won't make that covenant with you.
Shall we do that during the songs that are coming up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Would you do that? Yes? Amen? Amen.
So I invite the worship team up. They might want to lay their offering now. The rest of us can do it during the music. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, blessed be the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you into this city. We welcome you into this church. We welcome you into our hearts. Lord, do your work. Do your work, we declare in Jesus' name. In your name, amen. Amen. Thank you. So much to think about there. And as Carol mentioned, with the turmoil that's going on in the world, it's hard not to think and wonder, you know, is ancient prophecy still being fulfilled? Is it about to be fulfilled? The second coming was hidden, purposely hidden. There were clues there, but hidden from the priests and the prophets of old. They wondered about it. Even angels longed to know, it says in the scriptures, about what really was going on. It's all right, you can go back now. It was a real declaration, wasn't it? Can we have the picture of the donkey again? He said, so back to the one that says Palm Sunday. He said, the declaration, people would have known the prophecy, wouldn't they? So they would have known he was coming as their king, maybe not as the king of battle at that time, but still, he was coming, they knew it, and the offer was real as well. They could have accepted him. He still had to die for sins, but they could have accepted him later. Two chapters later, maybe a couple of days later, he's on the mount. He's giving the Olivet discourse, isn't he? And what does he say? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you under my wings, but you would not, you would not. You missed the day of my visitation. And Paul says, the rejection of the Jews, of Jesus, made way for the gospel to be brought out into the world to all the Gentiles. And if that brought such a blessing, how much more, when they see him and receive him, will that bring a blessing to the world? So that's my bit about prophecy. Any other reflections on today's passage or today's sermon? Perhaps you feel we've heard it all now. Usually we can't stop you. When Jesus was in Nazareth earlier on in his ministry, he went into the synagogue there and he preached from the scrolls of Isaiah. He asked for them and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to free the captives. Yes? To heal, to give sight to the blind, etc. And he said, this day is now fulfilled in your sight. So he's the servant king. But he stopped there because the next part was about the second coming and about judgment. And we've read Revelation. We know it's coming. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for everything that we've heard today and how we've been inspired to welcome you into our hearts, into our lives, to lay down our highest thing to you and to allow you to clear the tables so that we can walk and talk and fellowship with you and know your presence. And to join you in your mission of giving sight to the blind and freeing the oppressed, Lord, we want to declare that that is our will. That is our will. It's your will, and we declare it's our will as well in our lives. So we praise you, and we ask for your help in this, Lord. And if we go to the last slide now, who is this, the people said? Who is this that everybody is gathering to praise? Who is this riding on the donkey, making this declaration? Who is this? You are the King of Kings, we say, Lord. Lord, bless us during this week as we remember what you did, so great a sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless also the offering that we have given, maybe in the bags or in through our bank accounts. Help that to multiply your kingdom as well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Natalie's coming now to give notices and a blessing to us. Thank you for your help today.
It is Holy Week, as it has been said, so there's quite a lot going on, which is very exciting. So first is on Wednesday, the 1st of April, we have a CAP prayer event happening here at 7 p.m. And CAP is Christians Against Poverty, if you don't know. So if you'd like to come and pray for the team and pray for all that involves, please come along. And then moving on to like Holy Week related activities. There's the Maundy Thursday service here at 7 p.m, which will be a more quiet, reflective service to come and reflect on what Jesus has done for us, and particularly when he washed his disciples' feet in that day. And then on Good Friday, there's the Walk of Witness, which starts at 10 a.m. at outside St. Mary's, and they'll process to the Market Square. Yeah, where there'll be worship, sung worship there, and a reading, I think. And then you can join us here on Easter Sunday for celebrations, because he is risen, at 10:30. So, yeah, and then other things to look ahead towards in April is Tuesday, the 7th of April. There's a craft evening here at 7:30. There's Friday Night Youth on the 10th of April, also at 7:30. And then Christians Together in Prayer on the 14th of April, which is a Tuesday, at 9:30 a.m. at the Jubilee Centre. There's Young Families on Sunday, the 12th of April, at 1 p.m. after the service. And Sat's going to come and share about Alpha, which is going to be starting here on the 16th.
Thank you, Nat. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Nat. Before I do that, there are certain things that happen that we cannot just wait for another time to pray for. You know, church is a family that just doesn't worship on Sunday morning, but church is a family that walks along with each other. In times of joys and celebration, like Imad celebrated his birthday last week. If you never knew that, go and wish him, celebrate with him, and join in that celebration. But church is also a family where we stand and walk along with people when things happen that are not so good, that are not so joyful, including losing someone. I know I really want this to be a part of our church family, where we just stand, where we feel free to stand and say, can you please pray for this? Because I'm going through this tough time, and please pray for me. And this morning, I want church family to pray for one of such things that recently has happened. You know, previously, earlier in the worship, I mentioned about Revive and mentioned about Liz not having not the best time. And didn't share it then because I was yet to ask Liz if that's okay for me to share. But the week leading up to Revive, Liz lost her stepmom. And it was not really easy for her to carry on the responsibility and still do it. But she did. But I think as a church family, we need to be praying for her. We need to be praying for her family. We need to be praying for all the dear ones. Losing someone is not easy. So as we would be praying for Liz, I would also like to give anybody else in the church family, if you have anything that you need a prayer for, maybe for your work situation, maybe for something that's happening in your life, you can raise your hands and maybe someone will come and sit with you and we can just spend a few minutes praying for those things. Yeah, can someone please? Yes, Carol, thank you. And if someone else wants to join with them and pray for them, that would be lovely. It's a church family, so there's no things that you can hide. So if someone else wants to join with Anne and them and pray for that.
Can I say something?
After Margaret, please. Is that okay? Thank you, Margaret. Let's take this time to pray. Let's close our eyes and pray for Liz and what Emma is sharing there, and let's ask God to intervene in this situation. Comfort hearts that are sad, situations where they need help. Let's pray for that. Lord, we want to come before you and we want to thank you for your love and for your presence, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you because you have given us this church family where we can come as we are, not polished ourselves, Lord, but just the way we are, bringing things that bring us joy, bringing things that bring us sadness and sorrow, and share, and to be supported, and to be walked with, and to be prayed for, Lord, because we believe in you, Lord, because we know that in times of our difficulties, you walk with us, in times of our celebrations and joy, that you are part of that, because you have brought forth those things in our life. And Lord, we want to praise you for that. And we want to thank you for that. And we want to just lift your name for your ever-present presence in our lives, Lord. Lord, I want to commit Liz and her family in your hands, Lord. Lord, we want to commit their broken hearts in your hands, Lord. We want to pray for your strength and your peace upon them. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them in this time of their life, Lord. That they would know of your presence. That they would know that even in this time and even in these moments of their life, you are with them, Lord. Lord, we pray for Emma and the request that she's sharing, Lord. Though I'm not really aware of the concern there, Lord, but you know it. And Lord, I just pray for your right wisdom. I just pray for your right guidance. I just pray for your right direction in that particular situation, Lord. Lord, at this same time, we also want to thank you for Imad's life, Lord. Thank you for adding yet another life, another year into his life, Lord. Thank you for the way he continues to be a blessing to our church family, Lord. Help us, Lord, in return to be a blessing to him. And Lord, I want to commit everyone here this morning, Lord, who is a part of our church family or people, someone we know of, and anything that we can think of, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to guide us and lead us in our situations, Lord. We hope that things would just get better, Lord. And sometimes they don't according to our timetable, Lord. But help us to know that you are walking with us, Lord. We just commit ourselves in your hands, Lord, and pray that help us to grow more and more closer to you and to one another and live together as a church family, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.